Thank you, Betty. I appreciate that. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. What a wonderful, beautiful, old, rich hymn. I'd like to welcome everyone this morning. I'd like to thank Brother Charles in my absence last week for bringing the Word of God. I want to welcome also our new people this morning. Audrey, it's good to have you and your family. And it's good to have Richie and his family from Missouri with us today. And we hope and pray the Lord bless them as they hit the road this afternoon to travel some more. And it's been a blessing, I know, for Johnny and Christy to have them here. Okay. All right. Well, good. Psalm 84. I'm going to read the whole psalm, but we're simply going to be looking at one passage of it. Psalm 84. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Our heavenly Father, we come before thy presence this morning, humbled by thy blessed word and yet encouraged by thy divine and blessed promises which are ours in Christ. O Lord God, I pray that each and every individual here this morning can cry out with the psalmist, O, how my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Lord, we pray that you would draw nigh to us in a very special manner this morning. Bless my feeble efforts to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. And Lord, I pray the Spirit of God would take the truths of God and write them upon our hearts and our minds. Lord, we are a needy people. We have great need of thy mercy and thy grace. Many of us this morning are wearied in our pilgrimage. Many of us are carrying heavy burdens to bear. Lord, I pray, draw nigh to us and help us to bear those burdens in a way which would glorify thee. Encourage and strengthen us, dear God, we pray. For it's in your Son's name we ask these things, for his glory alone. Amen. And amen. Dear beloved, allow me this morning to escort you to a passage of Scripture which has strengthened and comforted countless believers as they pilgrim through this barren world of sin. But the path down which we travel as true believers towards our eternal rest leads us often through many deep valleys. Hebrews says we're pilgrims and strangers. We're looking for a better country, a heavenly one. And so often our hearts are overwhelmed by the things of the world. And as we travel down this road, like in Pilgrim's Progress, so often we find ourselves wandering astray. So God, out of His grace and His mercy and His faithfulness, will divinely intervene in our hearts, in our lives, providentially bringing us to a place in our lives to draw our affections back out to Christ, to wing our hearts from the things of the world which are but vain. And those valleys which we travel through as God's children, they're not by chance, nor of our own choice. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me. It's not by chance. It's not by our choice. But by divine appointment. We believe that God is sovereign as Christians, as true believers. We believe that God guides and directs all things down to the minute things of the world. If a sparrow does not fall without God acknowledging it or knowing it, then surely every step of my life is acknowledged by God, decreed, ordained, willed, purposed for His glory and for my well-being. These valleys are never to consume, nor will they ever destroy the true child of God. But those valleys are there to strengthen and draw out our affections even closer to Christ. Everything that God does in the life of a child of God is again for His glory and for our well-being. God will never ever lead us to a place of destruction. Though we might feel that the load is too heavy to bear, though we might feel the way is too straight and narrow, the cross is too painful, God will always give His children grace in the hour of need. He will strengthen His children. He will uphold them with the right hand of His righteousness. Our God is our refuge. I like that old hymn that says, "O joy that seekest me through pain." A paradox for the world. A mystery for the believer and yet a comfort by faith. O joy that seekest me through pain. I cannot close my heart to Thee. I love this. I trace the rainbow through the rain. God, my troubles are pouring down like the storms in a summer rain. And yet I trace the rainbow in every storm. Do we do that as believers? Or do we just notice the storms as Peter did as he walked upon the sea and we begin to be afraid and fearful? Or do we by God's grace begin to seek the rainbow in every storm? Do you know there's a rainbow in every storm of our life? Even those storms that are the most overwhelming. I trace the rainbow through the storm and feel the promise is not vain, that morn shall tearless be. Beloved, as pilgrims and strangers on the earth, like I said, we long and yearn for a better country. That is, Hebrews says, in heavenly, where God Himself has promised that He shall wipe away all tears from our eyes, and where there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. For the Bible says these things shall be but former things, and they shall pass away. I love how Revelation says that, as though God just simply wipes them away. They'll be former things. Beloved, this is what we look for. This is what we long for as Christians. This is what we yearn for. Do we truly cry out for the living God? Do we truly long to know more of His goodness, His mercy, His grace, of His presence in our own lives? Do we long for that day when our face shall be made sight and all our sorrows and pains shall be wiped away forever, shall become former things? Beloved, when we begin to lose this sensation, this yearning, this longing, this desire for the things of Christ, God being faithful will lead us into certain providences and circumstances to draw out our affections to Him. Troubles and sorrows and afflictions, these things, dearly beloved, belong to this present life and this pilgrimage, and have been ordained by God to keep our hearts and our affections on those things above. These things shall be in heaven former things, but beloved, these things are and belong to this present life. And in every valley, there is a Baca to refresh and restore the weary pilgrim. Look at Psalm 84 with me again. Look at verse 6. Who passing through the valley of Baca, mulberry or tears, weeping, make it a well. Do you know how to make a well in the valley of your Baca? The rain also filleth the pools. In the first 5 verses, the psalmist speaks of his longings and yearnings for the tabernacle, he says, for the courts of the Lord during the time of the feast. When everyone would travel to Jerusalem, that's what he's talking about. And the first 5 verses says, oh, I long for the courts of the Lord. I long for this tabernacle. Oh, my soul, my heart crieth out for the living God. I long to be in Jerusalem during the time of feast that I may meet with my God. Yet the roads and the valleys which led to Jerusalem during the times of the feast, being that time of the year, were very barren and dry. And some people even perished for thirst trying to make their way to Jerusalem. And so he said, verse 6, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pool. You see what the psalmist is saying? Do you see the illustration he's giving? If we're truly longing for the presence of God, if we long and desire to know more of the living God in our heart and our flesh crieth out, so often God will bring us through that wilderness as He did the Israelites. He'll draw us into a place of wilderness that our souls might really begin to thirst for God. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. God wanted them to travel down that barren and dusty and dry place so that when they get into Jerusalem, that first drink of fresh water would be so refreshing to their souls. My soul panteth after God, said the psalmist in 42. So often God will put us in a place barren and dry until our souls cry out for the living God. Oh, God, give me that water that I may thirst no more. Beloved, too often we drink from the dregs of this world, and it doesn't satisfy the soul. It leaves us barren and empty and unhappy. If in this world only we have hope of Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Only God can satisfy the true believer. God has imparted unto us that saving grace, and when we begin to grow cold and indifferent and wander from God, God draws us in this place as a wilderness that we might begin to cry out for that water that truly giveth life. Remember what our Lord said in John 7? He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Excuse me. You know when he said that? He said that at the Feast of the Tabernacles. When they were making the same journey, when they were coming into Jerusalem, and many were weary and thirsty and dry from that long desert trip, he stood on the street, on the corner, and he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Come and drink. Bring no money. The psalmist speaks of one who passes through this same valley. He passes through the same valley, Baca, mulberries, or weeping. They're on the way to Jerusalem. They're longing and desiring more for God, and yet it seems as though this wilderness is drying my soul out. And yet he speaks of one who passes through that same valley, Baca, but he does something in that valley. He drinks. He makes a well in that valley. And the rains fill his pools. You know what they used to do? The reference here is they would use in this valley, they would dig these holes and hope and pray when the rain comes it would fill them holes and they'd have something to drink because there was no river or brook or stream there to drink of. So they would dig holes and they would wait for the rain to come to fill it. And they would drink from them holes. Beloved, I know we've all been there. If you've tried to live for Christ, you've been in that valley of Baca. And your soul was thirsting for God and you dug a hole deep and said, oh God, let it rain that I might drink from this valley of Baca. Here's a mystery. Beloved, here's a mystery. The valley of Baca are weeping. Here's a mystery the world knows nothing of, yet the believer does. Do you know we can gain strength from our sorrows, from our weeping? God intends it to be that way. The world is destroyed by their sorrows and we're strengthened. He makes a well in the valley of Baca. He drinks from the valley of weeping. And it refreshes his soul. You say, preacher, that's strange. Oh, every true believer knows exactly what I'm talking about. Notice how this pilgrim is able to make a well in the valley of his Baca. He says in verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the ways of him. You see how he's able to do that? Because this traveler has set his heart and his eyes upon God and has placed his entire happiness in Him. Every way which leads to Him, be it over mountains or through the deepest valleys, he finds joy in that way. Isn't that what it says in verse 5? In whose heart are the ways of Him. His heart is in the way. Lord, my heart and my mind and my affections are so set upon You. If You call me to go over the highest mountain or through the deepest valley, I'll find that way to be joyful as long as it leads to You. It's a biblical principle. Did not the Lord despise the shame of the cross because He looked beyond the cross to the glory? Beloved, when we see God at the end of the road, it doesn't matter if it leads down into the deepest valley, over the highest hill, to the most stormiest winds, or to the most fiery trials. If we can see God on the other side of that, we can see that there's joy and there's rejoicing in the way. Our heart will be in the way. Beloved, one thing has bothered me tremendously over the years, especially over the last 4 or 5 years, is to see such spiritual apathy amongst God's children. Such spiritual indifference. Where's the love and adoration believers used to have for Christ? Such a love and adoration that it would flow out through their conversations daily. Their lives would show their love and affections for Christ. Beloved, I'm telling you, this is what makes the way, regardless of how difficult it is, joyful. Because He sets His eyes on Him. You see, this traveler here in our Psalms is speaking from verse 1 and verse 2. My soul longeth, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart, my flesh crieth out for the living God. Because he's looking forward to that, this valley of weeping, this valley of Baca, he's able to make a well in that valley to nourish and refresh and strengthen and restore his soul. Beloved, being in green pastures, or by still waters. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, the Bible says, Thou art with me. We rejoice in the green pastures. We rejoice to walk by the still waters. Yet even in the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil. Why? Because of those most precious words, For Thou art with me. That's the key. Thou art with me. If Thou art with me, I can go through the very flames of hell and not fear their flames or their torments as long as Thou art with me. You see, if our eyes are set on Christ, though the way is hard, we're going to find a well in that valley of Baca. And that well might spring up from our own grief and sorrow, and yet from that own grief and sorrow, we'll be able to drink and refresh our souls. It's a mystery to the world. A paradox. And yet a blessing to the true child of God. To such belong the grace to make wells in their valley of Baca. Weeping, they draw strength and comfort. Beloved, though the true believer is to rejoice always, and we are to rejoice always. Rejoice always. Always. Beloved, it is often from drawing from our wells of Baca that our hearts are made better. Let me say that again. Though we are to rejoice always, It is often from our drawing from the wells of our Baca that our hearts are made better. Listen to what the Bible says. Ecclesiastes 7. Sorrow is better than laughter. Watch. For by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. You see, when this traveler was traveling through this dry and barren land, longing for them courts of the Lord, for the tabernacles where God would manifest His presence, so often he would become so thirsty and dry. And I'm sure sometimes he'd wonder if the way was worth it. But then he'd remind himself of the presence of God when he says, "My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. I shall go through all things that I might know my God. I will count all things but dung and loss for the knowledge of Him, that I might win Him, that I might know Him, that I might apprehend Him." That never died in Paul. I see Christians today who have no affections and zeal for Christ, no fervent love and adoration for Him. All they talk about is their problems, their heartaches and their troubles and their sorrows. God has ordained them things to draw our affections out more to Him, so that we find nothing in the creature but everything in the Creator. Nothing in the world but everything in heaven. And so oftentimes, it's when God brings us to that point and we begin to dig, as they did in the wilderness, those holes. And we're weeping while we're doing that, our tears begin to fill that hole we dug, and we drink from our own sorrows and grief. And that helps us, it betters our heart. Blessed are they that who? That mourn. For they shall be what? Comforted. That I might know the fellowships of His sufferings. I had someone ask me, and I was in Colorado. They said, "I believe when the Lord walked amongst men, He laughed all the time." I said, "You won't find that anywhere in Scripture." "Oh, I believe He laughed." I said, "No, you won't find it. You know what He's called? He was called a man of sorrows. He came into this world to save sinners, and they hated Him, rejected Him, despised Him, spit on Him, beat Him, and finally killed Him. He was a man of sorrows as He walked amongst men." And yet, beloved, that same sorrow which drives the world to despair is often that which causes the Christian to flourish and bloom the greatest in the grace of God. "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn Thy statutes." Have you learned to make a well in your valley of Baca? The rain, it says, and I'll close here quickly, "and the rain also filleth the pools," the rain of afflictions. He's saying it is dry and barren, but from these things I gather my strength. And I learn to use those things by God's grace. These things work for me, because they set my affections and my sight on things that cannot be seen. Oh, beloved, we've got to have a single eye to God. Nothing else will please Him. Nothing and nobody in this world must take the place of God in our hearts. Does your soul, does your heart and flesh cry out for God? Then if you see Him at the end of the tunnel, or the end of the roadway, or at the top of the mountain, or at the end of the deepest valley, as long as you have your eyes fixed on Him, no matter which way leads to Him, you'll find reason to rejoice. You'll be able to make a well in your valley of Baca. And you'll drink from that well, and you'll gather strength, and you'll rise up and finish your journey. Oh, dearly beloved, we are pilgrims and strangers. We're looking for a better country. A heavenly one whose Creator is God. They go from strength to strength, every one of them, in Zion appeareth before God. You see what happens? May God give us grace and strength and wisdom to to learn to make wells in the valleys of our Bacchus. Beloved, that's rich true Christianity. Something the world knows nothing of, but we do. And then one day, I'm telling you, that makes heaven more richer than ever. Oh, I'm telling you, when the load is heavy and you're burdened down, and that day comes and we enter into the presence of God, and that burden is taken away, and the Lord wipes our tears away, and we know no more pain, nor fear, nor death, nor sorrow. Beloved, I'm telling you, it's going to be a day of great rejoicing. Great rejoicing. Jubilant in Jesus Christ. Until then, learn to make wells in your valley of Bacchus. Learn to drink from the rain that fills those puddles. And you'll find strength and comfort in this often weary pilgrimage. But the day's coming, dear beloved, the day's coming when our journey shall be over and we shall rest forever with the Lord. Until that day, keep your eyes and heart set on Him. Cry out for the living God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Thy Word. We thank You so much for the Spirit of God. We pray that He would help us to know of these things. I cannot impart these truths into no man, woman or child. Spirit of God, I pray, stir in Thy people. Revive us, Lord God, in the midst of these trials. Help those who are heavy-hearted. Help those who are burdened down. Help them to make wells in their valley of Baca. Let them drink and refresh their souls, that they might once again cry out for the living God. Lord, we love You, we thank You, and we wait patiently for the day when our pilgrimage shall end, and we shall rest in Thy presence forever and ever. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.